Okay, I'd like to introduce and read a very familiar passage of scripture that comes from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talked about salt and light. And I suppose it's the same translation, I think, as is up that I've got here, so we'll read it together. You, that is you, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they that light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As we reflect on what these verses really mean and how they apply for our lives and ideas for how we can actually be salt and light, it's my prayer that God will really inspire us and bless us with his presence. Lovely seeing a few more of you. I'd like to welcome those who've just come in since the official welcome was given a little earlier. It's terrific to see you all here today. And today we're going to continue a theme that has been going on for the last three or four times when I've been speaking here. We were looking at the mission of our church, and we started looking at what it means to have Christ first of all in our hearts, what that really means to have Jesus in our lives. And then we looked at Christ in our families, and that made quite an impact, and quite a few people asked for the PowerPoints of what we shared that day. And if you're if you've got a family, part of a family, grandparent, parent, whatever, feel free to ask me for the PowerPoint, for all the ideas for how we can live with Christ in our family. And then we're looking today as the fourth aspect of Christ in our community. What does it really mean to share the love of Christ, this Christ that we've been talking about that is absolutely central to our lives, in our community around? And so I'd like to start off by reading from the Message Bible. In our scripture reading, we read together from the New King James Version, which was great. But the Message Bible is not a translation. It's called a paraphrase. Basically, it was written by Eugene Peterson, who is a pastor. He was a pastor. He's recently passed away. And for 30 years of his ministry, he was excited about the Bible and said, we've got to try to help take this book, which was written thousands of years ago, into translate what it really means today. And this is what I love about the Message, is that he poetically explains the meaning of a passage in ways that we can understand it. And so in the Message, Eugene Peterson says it this way. He says, you have to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. You have to be light, bringing out God colors in the world. We could reflect on that. I don't know if you've heard it put like that before, but he goes on to put it this way. He says, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. I don't mind if you can turn the light back on again, all right, as a reminder for us to shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Sometimes we get over familiar with passages of Scripture. We've heard them said so many times, they just don't have an impact sometimes unless we really stop and think. And what I love about the message is that it makes me think again, is this what Jesus was really wanting for each one of you? You can imagine him teaching on this hillside with thousands of people around him, and he was telling them, every one of them, just like we're standing on this hillside, we're noticeable to all of those around in the valleys below. They can see us up here. Be lights like that to communicate this good news that I've come to bring into this world. So what is this light that we have? I believe, in summary, it's our relationship with Jesus that's the source of that light. We cannot be lights just by ourselves. We cannot be lights by just wanting to sort of flick a switch in the morning and just turn on the light, or turn it off at the end of the day and we'll stop being lights, or else we'll just perhaps go into a place we shouldn't really be going and think, oh, I'm not going to be light here. I'm just going to pull a veil over me. The fact is that if we have a relationship with Jesus, his light will automatically glow from inside of us. It is the source of the light that he has given to us. Ellen White, a great writer I enjoy, put it this way in a book, The Mount of Blessing, which is a book that amplifies the parables of Jesus. And she puts in there, she says, the followers of Christ are to go forth on their mission, diffusing the light of heaven upon those who are in darkness. The life of Christ in the soul, his love revealed in the character, would make them the light of the world. That's worth reflecting on, isn't it? What makes us the light of the world? It's not because you're wearing the right clothes and I put my tie on today because I'm coming to church and I don't always put it on because sometimes I just want to make everybody feel, you know, that you don't have to wear a tie to church. You can be relaxed here. It's not the clothes that I wear that are going to be the light. It is, according to what Ellen White is saying, it's the love revealed in the character. We are light people. And in case you're thinking, ah, it's just the men. No, we're light women as well. Men and women here in church today. And I want you to be thinking today is, how can I be a light person for God? What is it that causes me just to glimmer a little bit? Perhaps not even to have a light or feel that I have a light. How is it that today we can share our light a little bit more? What I like about Eugene Peterson's paraphrase is he talks about us bringing out the God colors in the world. Here is a black and white picture. It's a picture, as you can see, perhaps, of tulips in the middle there. But as a black and white picture, it's not particularly exciting, is it? Bit boring. It's, well, you know, it's a nice park, a nice little lake in the background. But a world without colorful light is not the same as when you flick the switch and you see the colors in all their glory. What God wants us to do is, through the way that we live, the way that we show his character of kindness, is to bring out the God colors in the world that often other people don't see. We don't have those colors ourselves. We're black and white by ourselves. But with God in us, something dynamic takes place, something beautiful. He changes us so that we transform, like sometimes you see pictures that gradually change from the black and white into the full color image. Now, that's not to say that black and white images can't be very arty and very nice, but it's like a life without the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have the power to make a ministry difference in the lives of those who are around. So what do lights do? The lights can help us in many different ways. They can Help us to stay safe, like with traffic lights at road crossings. They help us to find our way so that we don't stumble and fall at nighttime. And I'm glad for street lights, aren't you, when you're out on the streets at the moment after dark. They sometimes help us to see when the power's on. We've got little LED lights that come on and show us, yep, that circuit's dangerous, that plug is dangerous, be careful, there's electricity going there. Sometimes a light shows us when there's something that needs fixing. Warning lights come on the car. I had one come on a couple of weeks ago on my car, and I thought, oh no, it's something wrong with my engine. I pulled over and I checked the book, and it said, it's okay actually, you just need to call up the garage and get it booked in for a service. And so I thought, okay. And this week I went along to the garage finally. They booked me in, and I had a sign to say it's going to cost you £150 just to have a check. Dear me, what an enormous amount of money just because there's a light that's come on. But I was glad that it came on, because after I went back at the end of the day, they said, yep, we checked it and we found there was something loose and we tightened it all up. And now it should be working fine. And I was relieved when the light went off in the car. And I think you've had that experience. And they said, I'm not going to charge you £150 for it. It'd be less than that. Oof. You know, that was a relief as well. You see, lights are useful for a whole lot of different reasons. And I like when we have party lights, Christmas lights, celebratory lights, lights to remind us that life is about enjoyment as well as about warning and dangers. I don't know why, but the clicker's not working. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. So, being light is helping people to see God's loving character and his values. We do that through the way that we live our everyday lives. And the question that I asked you earlier, and we need to think about again, is how do we help other people to see the God colors through us? What is it about us that attracts people to God? And so think for yourselves, and I'm going to be giving out at the end a worksheet for yourself. When I say a worksheet, it's something that's free. It's a reminder of some of the questions we're raising in this service. And if you want a copy of that at the end, make sure that Jessica sees you and she'll give you a copy, because it helps us to ask these questions. I was just listening to Andrew's sermon last week and I was inspired by it. And I thought, this is a kind of strange thing we do in church. We come and sit here for an hour and a bit or whatever, and we have a worship service and we listen to someone for half an hour, and we think, why do we do this? And it's not simply so that we can sit here and say we've heard a sermon. It is so that the rest of our lives can be motivated and encouraged to become like God. And that is what I'd like to invite you to do, to think about how we can help other people to see the many colors of God's love through our lives. What is it that God wants us to reflect on in this coming week? Well, it's not only light we're talking about today, we're also talking about salt. And my wife found a while ago these little salty people. I officially, it's a salt and pepper, but in our house, we just put salt in both of them. And often you think salt is the sort of thing you don't want too much of it, and so it can taste. Things can be over salty at times, but this particular couple knows that salt can be attractive actually, and there's nothing better than a good hug to show us how salt can be loving as well as just, you know, putting a bit of flavor in. But in the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson put it this way. He says, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You know that food that doesn't have salt in it tastes bland. And you add a little bit of salt, and for some reason, the vegetables, the bread, whatever it is that you're tasting, somehow tastes richer, doesn't it? Because it's got salt on it. And it's not because you want to taste the salt. The salt brings out the other flavors, just as our saltiness in the world brings out the God flavors in the earth. If you lose your saltiness, Jesus says, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and you'll end up in the rubbish heap. That is an invitation for us to be genuinely like salt in the world, to let God change our characters so that we will have an influence on the world. It's about helping people to experience God's love and God's loving character. Because without it, what happens is that people are living in a saltless world, a bland world, a plain world, a world that really they can't understand what God is like because there aren't physical demonstrations through you and I. So what else does salt do? It makes us more sensitive, in a sense, because what God wants us to do is not just to pour a whole load of salt onto people's lives, irrespective. I don't know, some of you will know people who when they have a meal, automatically, no matter whether the food has been seasoned or not, they will just get the salt cellar out and just put loads of salt on top. And I think, too much salt isn't healthy, is it? You think, oh dear, they're going to have high blood pressure, they're not careful. But secondly, it's worth tasting the food first, isn't it? And say, actually, we all got different tastes. Some of us like food a little bit more salty than others, and that's great. But, my mother is German, as I sometimes tell you, and one of the traditions they have in German cooking is that you should put the right amount of salt into the food so that people will not need to add salt afterwards. It's a way of showing love and consideration that you taste the food beforehand and present it in a way that they are going to enjoy. And so she was quite insulted when English people started coming to the table, practicing hospitality, and started sprinkling salt on the food that she'd so carefully prepared. And I share that not simply as a cultural insight, but simply to say, we are called to be salt and to savor and to bring the right amount of salt, the right amount of the presence of God in the right situations to make a difference. And basically, you have to taste, you have to experience the world around in order to be able to know how much salt to bring into that situation. See, God calls us to mingle with people. He wants us to be like the salt, that rather than just being like a light and it's stationary and sitting there and is on a hilltop, so to speak, and like a lighthouse, it's great for everyone to see. Salt, on the other hand, needs to be mingled. Just by being Christians at home, by being Christians at church, is not enough. We need to be around in the community, doing what we can to change the world in the way that God calls us to do so. So think about this. How can Christ make you have a salty effect in the world? What are the things in your life that in 2025 that God is telling you, perhaps you need to do something differently in order that your neighborhood will know about the love of God. In the book Ministry of Healing, it says, there is need of coming close to the people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing, and here we are, I'm going to stop preaching at this point, less time were given to sermonizing, more time was spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. I love that. Christianity has to be practical. Don't feel that you've got to go preach to everybody. And some people particularly have a ministry. You know, they may be down at Hyde Corner, Hyde Park Corner, or wherever, preaching. I respect that. But the biggest influence that we can have is by noticing the needs of those around and impacting their lives by caring for them. So Christ is calling us to mingle. He says in the Bible, I think you'll find it in Romans 12, verse 15, we are to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. You can't do that by staying at home by yourself. Accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, this work will not, cannot be without fruit. So, what are we going to think about? Is there somebody that God has brought into your life? Or somebody that God wants you to be involved with that needs to taste a little more of that lovely saltiness of the grace of God in their lives? Who is that person? So what I'd like to do is for a few minutes just to share a bunch of ideas that might help us to see examples of how other people bring the salt and the light of God into their everyday lives. And Jesus gives the parable of the sheep and the goats. And of course, the big difference between them, and we don't have time today to go into the outcome, but it's a long story. It's worth reading in Matthew 25 because it comes following on from the judgment scenes that are described, talking about the end of the world in Matthew 24. And Jesus makes a very simple distinction between those that are called and those that are saved and those that are left behind. And it doesn't say anywhere that the sheep are the ones who go to church every weekend. The sheep are the ones who go around knocking on doors and preaching to their neighbors about the love of God. The simple dividing line is, do you care? When people are in need, do you minister to their needs? Because sheep, they naturally feed the hungry. They give clothes to those who need them. They visit people who are sick. They support those who are struggling. They befriend the lonely prisoners. They give dignity to those who feel shamed. And they care for the homeless and the displaced and visit those in prison and so on. Sheep can't help doing what the shepherd would do if he were here. And the reason why we can do those things is because we know the loving shepherd who sets the example. We listen to his voice. That's why we have devotions in the day, so that we can listen to the voice. That's why we pray, is God, help me, show me what I'm supposed to do here. How can I intervene in a way that's going to be genuinely caring like you would? And so as we experience his loving care in our own lives, we're then able to go to wherever he leads us. What needs are there that people have around us? What needs do people have for affection, for encouragement, for support, for respect in our community that we can show by the way we interact with them? Colin has told me a story about what he does for his work. And I'd like him to share just a little bit about being an engineer. You travel around, don't you, all over the country. And how do you take Christ into your work?
In case some people didn't realize, I'm a Kirby engineer. That's why I'm smart. I listen to Adventist Radio London in the mornings. And a certain time in the mornings, they ask for prayer. Now, when I go into the house, I have my mobile phone. I turn it, so there's no way I can hear. Often, the customer will ask me to turn it up a bit so they can hear too. And so, or they will actually link it to their phone or their app on their device, and we'll listen it. And often, I will ask them, when they ask people who need prayer, I said, do you mind me, because I talk to all my customers, and they know me, I'm a chatterbox. And when we talk and some of them are going through difficulties, I will actually ask them, do you mind if I ask them, put you before God and ask them to pray for you? Say, oh yeah, that. So I'll text the presenter, because I know them very well, and they'll hear their name on the radio. He said, that's my name, that's me. I've had a lot of customers who've lost people, and they've asked for prayer, and I've left them with the radio playing in their background. When I go, I don't know if they turn off, I don't know. But it's my little bit. But a few weeks ago, I had at least 3 phone calls where my client asked me, you remember this person? They've passed away. One of them was her son. She says, I'm struggling, but I felt impressed to ask if you can remember me in prayer, because my son, you and he both laughed and joked the last time he was at my house. It was only a few weeks ago. He went to the gym and he passed away. And I'm struggling, but I felt impressed to ring you and tell you, ask can you pray for me, and as I did, and I put him on the radio also. Another one said, I'm very sick. I've been told I got cancer, stage 4, and I'm struggling and I'm scared, but I felt impressed to call you and ask, can you pray for me? And I sent him a text of a prayer that I gave them, and I put it on the radio. I asked for them person first and put on the radio, and they prayed for them. And they said hearing their name in the airways made a big difference. Now, I said to myself, why did they feel comfortable to call me and ask for prayer? What am I doing differently? And all I do, I'm being me. And everyone I speak to, I don't Bible bash. I just ask them how their family is. And often, I'll get presents from them year to year. Oh, this is for your daughter. This is for... And they don't want anyone else in the house but myself. And I just assume everyone looks after their own. They said, no, you're unique. I'm not unique. I'm just being what God asked me to be in a community. Everyone can do it. I was in the supermarket the other day. Actually, it's a few years ago. And I saw this lady in the supermarket, and she was a senior lady. And her hair was white. It was really nice. There wasn't a hair out of place. And I went to her and I said, please forgive me. I just have to say, your hair is beautiful. And I went to run off. I said, whoa, 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 she said, come back. I said, what? She said, thank you very much. So I didn't want to be rude. I just want to say, your hair looks really. She said, you noticed. I said, well, it looks beautiful. And each time we went in the store, we kept bucking up to each other. I said, I don't know what her name was. But that day, I hope I made her feel good. You know, and sometimes it's just a smile.
thank you so much. Isn't that amazing? You know, hearing how what you're doing in taking the love of God into a home situation is simply when someone tells us there's something that's going wrong in their lives, some sadness. Yeah, to comfort somebody is nice, to show sympathy is absolutely appropriate. But what a Christian does, and what you're sharing with us, is that you say, actually, would you like me to pray for you? Would you like me to ask Adventist Radio London to pray for you? And people are blessed. And it's not teaching about all the different intricacies of Christian doctrine or anything else. It's showing we care. And who knows what God does with that in building people's spiritual lives. And even complimenting people in public. Yeah, it takes a bit of courage to go up to a lady that you don't know and tell her how beautiful her hair is or whatever. But what a difference it made in that lady's life that day. All right? Why not? Why not? We are salt. We are light. Your home can be a church too. Because church, in a sense, is where the presence of God is. And it's a place that I believe that we are called as Christians to open our homes, to be hospitable, where that is practical and where that is possible. Because it is in homes that people can ask questions and feel comfortable. And one of the things that has been happening here, you know, since I've come here, is we used to have Bible studies here on a Wednesday evening in the church. And it was just a small little group of us. And then Patty started inviting us to her place during the summertime. And we'd have a bit of food and so on. But she couldn't do it every week. And so I thought, you know, why don't I open up my home? It's literally round the corner, 5 minutes walk from here. And it's been absolutely a blessing for me and for Karen, when she can join us occasionally, to have people come to our home. And I know that you open up your home in Redbourne, don't you, on a Wednesday night as well. And there's a lovely group of people that come there. I could have invited Katrina to tell us the stories about how she invites her neighbors to come into those homes. And she goes through the ups and downs of life with them. God wants us to be salt. And if you've got a home, if you're not homeless, then perhaps that is one way that God will help you to share his grace and love out there. But there's loads of things that you can do, depending on your stage in life and what your interests are. If you've got children, you know, start a little craft group and telling them stories and making things and you know, have a mini messy church. Be sociable. Invite friends to church for social events. Jesus went to a wedding, didn't he? He didn't just stay at home. He went out to where people were. And what are the sort of social events that you can be part of? There's a story about a florist who, and we're going to play this PowerPoint, well, it's a little video for a few minutes, that I was really struck by, because this florist thinks she is just a florist. What good can she do? So as you watch this, just think of how big a difference you can make in the lives of others. Go ahead. We might need to turn this light off. Can someone just turn this light off? Thanks.
I'm just a florist. Got a small shop. Nothing special. Silly way to spend your life, I guess, fussing with a bunch of flowers. Sometimes I wish I was good at something else. I don't know, a doctor or a missionary. Someone who really helps people. but I do love flowers. Always had a knack for it. So I do my best to make them beautiful for people. But I know flowers can't change the world. I know I don't make much of a difference. I'm just a florist. I'm just a florist.
How often do you think I'm just a pensioner? I'm just a whatever work you do. God is calling you to recognize the impact that you can make in this world. And to be open to let the Spirit of God fill you so that what seems like ordinary, everyday work, whether it's going round and being a Kirby engineer, whether it's doing the mundane things that often life calls us to, that we can be like that florist, bringing hope and joy and love into the world that God has given to us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you have called us to be salt and light, and yet so often we just feel very unsalty. And our light goes out, and we feel very frustrated because we blow it and we do the wrong things. But today you're calling us to be your presence in our community. And so whether it's working on this food bank here in Hemel, in this church, whether it's setting up a WhatsApp group in our local street, whether it's just smiling to people and noticing what they need, whether it's just praying that God will open up a way of sharing his love in a practical way. We pray, Father, that whatever God, whatever you are calling us to do, that you will show us our ministry and show its effect in the way that the light just gets caught from one person to another, and the world becomes a more beautiful place, full of your God colors in everything that we see and do and taste. Bless us all as we reflect on how to do that, in Jesus' name.
What can we do in the community? Now I'm going to stand and sing our final hymn number 3, hymn number 4.